Thursday night in Chicago, very important day, both nationally and locally. The Supreme Court is considered the guardian of the Constitution, and it's their responsibility to protect, safeguard, and uphold the Constitution. And that's why today's hearings were important for many reasons. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I watched, except for one senator, I think I watched every single minute.
I think I did too. I got up early, woke up, put it on my phone, watched it as I was laying under the covers as it started. And then throughout the day, I was just carrying my phone around with me. And then I went to lunch at Rico Benny's, actually. And we were sitting there watching. And they had TVs in the front room, in the side room, in the back room. And everybody was just glued to it.
Yeah.
And then came in here a little early today and was watching in our newsroom. And I was glued to it as well.
I wondered if I should have gone somewhere and watched it with other people. Because
she'd invited you to come with us.
I didn't mean to say,
not that it was a fun.
I didn't mean to guilt you into thinking you should have invited. No, I mean, I don't know how people consumed it, right? So you had different situations and different environments, and
right.
I was pretty much alone all day with it.
Okay.
In my house, on my couch, and it was a lot of emotions, and I think a lot of people did as well.
Very emotional. On both sides, extremely emotional.
Yeah.
I felt initially, you know, my thoughts on Christine Blasey Ford was that, you know, I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people. You have too. I mean, just over the years, she came across to me as very genuine. She was extremely nervous.
Right.
She was shaking at one point. You know, she admitted from the start she's terrified. She didn't want to have to do this, and she did. She came across to me as very sympathetic and very believable.
And I felt like, you know, she was trying to find her place there, right?
Right.
I mean, because
right.
What an incredible stage to have to share very personal, very painful information. And even Brett Kavanaugh, who later obviously testified, said he believes that she may have been assaulted. And he was very specific.
It was
in his
interesting
language.
How he worded it at the end. Yes.
And I think here's what I believe. I think they both believe their stories.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
And that is makes it very hard for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both believe their stories,
right.
Which then really it comes down to, as far as I can tell, four people on the GOP side of the Judiciary Committee to decide whether or not they halt this
mm-hmm.
and have an FBI investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, I think on a bigger scale, I think that, everyone comes into this with their own set of experiences, whether
right.
it's your political party, your gender, whether you're a survivor, whether you're somebody who's been accused before. Maybe you're someone who's afraid of being accused
right.
of anything. So I wonder if anyone changed their mind today. Did it move it at all for the American people?
Right.
Or are you still where you were yesterday?
I spoke with someone who leans a little more conservatively.
Okay.
And she told me that she believes Christine Ford and went into this thinking, oh, poor Brett Kavanaugh,
right.
his reputation mm-hmm. is now on the line. So I think she was swayed slightly because she believed the testimony. She came across as very sympathetic, very real, not staged, not rehearsed. I mean, you gotta remember too, she was pulled out of her life, which is not in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a politician. I mean, yes, she's a very brilliant woman and has, of course, many degrees.
She's a hippocampus, and I was like, I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
Part of the brain is that?
She's a brilliant, brilliant woman. So, but not a politician. You know, like Brett Kavanaugh's used to being on the bench and speaking mm-hmm. and being in front of people. So he's got that advantage to him.
Well, and when he came out attacking Democrats.
Oh my God.
I was surprised because he's, for the most part, every candidate, every person that we've seen, not candidate, but every nominee that we've seen for the Supreme Court,
right.
we know which way they might lean
of course,
because of who
right.
they've been nominated for. I don't, in my life, I've never seen a nominee come out that hard and heavy.
I agree.
And I've never seen, even Clarence Thomas, I don't remember him attacking Democrats or women
right.
or anybody. You know, he was defensive.
Right.
You know, and as I would imagine anyone would be in that situation.
Sure.
Again, if you believe your truth
mm-hmm.
or you are trying to accomplish something or you believe that you've earned something.
Right.
Which is the way Brett Kavanaugh came across.
I agree.
Today.
And who was the senator? I have to get her name. But she was one of the last people to question him and the second or third to the last. And she said, this is not, you know. And this is a good point. This is for anybody. You know, you're not entitled to this position.
Correct.
just because you think you've done great things, you're not entitled. You know, the committee will decide. The American people will decide.
Senator Mazie Hirono.
That's it. Yep. Yes. She had a very good point. You're not entitled to this.
And that's,
you know?
And then the thing is that Brett Kavanaugh has been a Republican operative before he became a judge. Yeah. If people aren't familiar with his background, he worked for Ken Starr when they were investigating the Clintons and, yes, you know, whether it was the Vince Foster death. Right. They were trying to find, but they were coming at it as, was it really a suicide?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was leaking, and he has done interviews about this way back when their book's being written. He would leak grand jury information about their investigation in order to shape the attitudes towards Bill Clinton in the media.
Right. And that's a fact.
That's a fact.
This is a fact. This is not being made up. This is true.
So, I mean, he was a political operative for the Republicans in the 90s. He worked for George W. Bush. He used emails that were not his. Mm-hmm. He'd gotten them, and this is part of the testimony he gave for the Supreme Court hearings about how did he get these emails. And there have been, he has wiggled around the truth in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So coming out that hard against Democrats reinforces his history as a Republican operative. It's fine to be a Republican operative.
Right.
I have relatives in Washington, D.C. who are working in the White House.
Right.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you right now, if my brother-in-law was to be in a position like this, maybe that's why he's not trying to get higher office, because mm-hmm. I got stories and I've got receipts.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
that's a great point.
And I know Democrats that if they were going to run for office, I'd be like, you might not. They're very partisan and they shouldn't be in that office either.
You bring up two really good points. I'm glad you brought up Clarence Thomas, because we know which way he leans. He's very conservative. We get that. We understand that. They were showing clips today from the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings many, many, many years ago. You're right. I didn't see Clarence Thomas fly off the handle or yell or be combative or start arguing with the committee. And I didn't appreciate the sarcasm with the prosecutor, because they hired this independent prosecutor. Rachel Mitchell, who I think did a great job.
Yep.
And she leans a little more. Yeah. She leans a little more to the right as well. You know, she's conservative from Maricopa County. I didn't appreciate him getting snippy with her.
Isn't that weird? Do you think that's why they switched?
I think that is why they switched, because don't yell at the lawyer, at the person. Yeah. If anybody should know best, it should be a judge, because you get to ask the questions. I don't think he liked being asked the questions and got defensive mm-hmm. and flew off the handle a little. And a judge, a very good friend of my father's, was a judge for many years before he passed away from kidney cancer. Oh. But he always said, you'll never know which way I lean. And we knew he leaned a little bit to the left. He said, but when I go to court, I check that at the door, and I follow the law. That's why I didn't appreciate Kavanaugh going off on Democrats, because I thought, if you're going to be on the highest court in the land, check your partisanship at the door. Of course, we're all going to know what way they lean. But.
Well, but now we know that if any Democrat comes in front of the Supreme Court, DNC has a case in front of him,
of course, can he be fair and impartial?
If I was a lawyer, I would say, look what he did. I would just pull out that and be like, he cannot. He has to recuse himself.
He has to recuse himself.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm getting a little bit high. And here's why. As I started at the beginning of this segment, the Constitution, as many of us hold dearly, is protected by the Supreme Court. Everything that we hold sacred as far as our government is played out by the Supreme Court in so many different ways. Joyce, before we go to the break, what did you want to say?
Oh, yes. Well, I did listen to it throughout the whole day. And what you just mentioned about, I was disappointed that when Judge Kavanaugh started his presentation, he was so angry and partisanship in the responses that he made or his positions that he took. That kind of made me feel very uncomfortable, because I think in many of our hearts we try to hope that the person who's going to be on the Supreme Court is going to make honest decisions mm-hmm. based
yep.
on what they know is right.
Right. Exactly.
And
right.
That was a turnoff right there. I mean, both of the presentations were very believable, and I, in my own heart, I feel that if there was an FBI investigation, in the long run, it would benefit everybody
right.
as far as
mm-hmm.
what their opinion will be. The history of Judge Kavanaugh, no matter what happens one way or another, if he gets appointed or not, it'll always be over his head and make people wonder that,
absolutely.
Well, did he really do it? Did he not
right.
do it? You know, and this way, if there was a thorough investigation, no matter what the outcome, I think the general public would say, okay, it was looked into more deeply. Now we can kind of be at peace with the outcome.
Right. And
so I think that's unfortunate.
Absolutely. And to your point, too, if I'm Kavanaugh, that's what I'd want. I'd say, hey, let mm-hmm. them investigate me. I have nothing to hide. Bring Mark Judge forward. Here, I have nothing to hide. She took a lie detector test.
Yeah, and agreed.
And passed it.
Yeah.
Has he?
Well, 9 times he was asked.
And he said no.
He didn't say no.
Oh,
he
okay.
never said no, because that would be the video every news outlet would play, including us.
Right.
Right. We would be like, oh, he said he does not agree that he should be investigated by the FBI.
Right.
Or have a lie detector test.
Right.
He kept saying, I will agree to whatever the committee wants. I've
all
answered
right.
your questions.
Yeah, that's what he said to
Durbin,
yeah.
9 times. He never said yes, and he never said no, which I found fascinating and a brilliant way to eat up time. Joyce, it's great to hear from you. By
okay.
the way,
thanks, Joyce.
No, wait, actually, one thing, Joyce and Andrea.
Yeah.
So when Gorsuch was nominated, so we have a texter that says, gee whiz, you oppose Kavanaugh. Only if you listened, and obviously I was on even later before,
mm-hmm.
we had several shows talking about Gorsuch and his he's a constitutionalist.
Yes, he is.
He's a great mm-hmm. legal mind. And I said that, does he necessarily reflect everything that I would want to have on the Supreme Court? Maybe not, but I thought that it was an excellent choice. And until this, I'd spoken to people who know Kavanaugh personally, who thought that he was an excellent jurist. But
mm-hmm.
with this, I
yes.
have to have my doubts. And the next
yes.
person, because, and here's the thing, if it really is that she's making it up, if it really is a Democratic conspiracy, why him and
right.
nobody else?
Absolutely.
Ever.
And
I don't think, excuse
yeah.
me, I was
yeah.
just, hello.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I don't think any woman, to be honest with you, would want to go through what
no.
she went through today, or even before today, and what's going to happen after today.
Right.
For no reason.
For no reason.
You cannot be that strongly partial one side to say,
yep.
oh, whatever comes my way, I'll take it. I'm just going to. You know, I would want to get it out in the open one way or another. And if there was, I mean, if for some reason it was somebody else or something, that would be found out. And like I said, everybody's
right.
mind, I think, could be at peace and accept the consequences
yes.
at that time.
The FBI
absolutely.
Would be able to uncover if she had ulterior motives.
Of course, if she and the others, because
mm-hmm.
now
yep.
she's not the only one.
Yes.
There are more accusers now, so let's investigate all the claims, do a thorough investigation, and for the record, she is not being paid. I heard that over and over again today. Well, she's making money off this. She's not.
She's,
not
around.
Being paid to testify.
When the prosecutor asked her, like, how are you paying for it? She had to look around going, I don't know. What are you guys charging? She had a moment, she's like, and the lawyers leaned over like, we're doing this pro bono.
Right, right.
Oh, good.
I don't think for $1 million, any woman would want to do that, because especially a professional woman in her position, it's not worth it. What she went through academically and her reputation in her profession, no amount of money, I think any normal person would say, okay, I'll do that. Give me $1 million. Because your whole life has turned upside down
right.
from
You're
that
right.
point
she
on. Had,
she moved out of her home.
Mm-hmm.
She's not living
mm-hmm.
in her house
yep.
and has gotten death threats.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Oh, Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. Look forward to talking to you
bye.
Again. We are going to check in with our friends from the A Joyful Assault on the Senses,
yeah.
the 6th Annual Edgewater Arts Festival. We've got music and conversation about that when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrew Darles, 720 WGN. And, of course, our text lines are open, the 815. You want to dance? Bring it. 312-981-7200. Call or text. Every year, Edgewater, for the last 6 years, has had an arts festival. It's a joyful assault on the senses. You can see, hear, smell, and taste everything they have to offer in one of our favorite neighborhoods in Chicago. And we have in studio with us Chris Combs, who's going to tell us a little bit about this. You are, we can tell people that you're a last minute replacement, that somebody backed out the very last second.
Yeah, someone did, but
that's okay. We don't mind. It happens. That's the thing with this time slot. People are like, because you like at the and during the day, you feel
they've
like you got everything
got work
going
in the morning. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this event coming up. This is going to
sure.
be this weekend, right?
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's 11 a.m. to 7 in Edgewater on the north side, right near Loyola University campus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are over 100 artists that will be there. There's actually a waiting list this year for artists that wanted to get in. It's the sixth year, as you said, of the event. And right on Granville, between Broadway and Sheridan, 10:30 to 11:40 West Granville Avenue. And this is really part of a renaissance that's happening in Edgewater. If you go along Broadway Avenue, you see a lot of new buildings going up. The Cochran apartment building just went up recently.
Wait, how did he get a building on,
yeah, I don't
on Edgewater?
Know. How did he do it?
The morning show pays better than we thought.
Actually,
it did.
That's funny. I didn't
what
even.
Is happening?
Yes, it is actually named. No, it's not
is
named after him, but we'll give him credit. But there is a building right there on Granville that just went up called the Cochran. It's funny.
Oh, great.
It just went up. It's 10 apartments. But this weekend with the Arts Festival, you've got juried artists. Not only that, the one thing that they're emphasizing this year is the live music. There are over 20 acts and 50 performers, including jazz, blues, funk, African drumming, pop rock, classical music, barbershop, choir singing, all part of this rich two-day event.
I love the artists part, the aspect of it too. You know, not only just the Chicago-based artists, the 100 Chicago-based, but there's kids stuff, kids art too.
Yeah, there is cool. From about 7 schools in the area too. And there's people here, and you've all gone to different art festivals throughout the Chicagoland area and actually throughout the Midwest. But this one's really special because it's really the best of the best. People have to apply to be considered. They have to submit their art. And if you go to the website, edgewaterartists.com, you'll see a sample of all the artists that are going to be there this weekend.
And we are fortunate enough to have a band with us tonight playing live. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to welcome Owen and the Ghosts. And this is with Owen, Scott, and Jamie. Do we know, Michael, I forgot to ask what they...
Indie rock.
They're indie rock, but do we know what they're... I don't want to... We're ready to go. Adam, the engineer, this is our very first time.
Yeah, using our new stage.
Our performance space, which is, I know,
stage.
Chris, every time we used to be like crowded with the band, which was fun.
No, this is a whole new world.
This is a whole new environment. All right, take it away. This is Owen and the Ghosts. Give me some of your time.
ask me for more time. But I don't want you to leave me behind. Yes, I know that. Ask me for more time.
Coveted sitting ovation from all of our crew. It's
Thank
Owen
you.
And the Ghost. Very nice, you guys.
Thank you.
Very sweet. Is that a good description? Indie rock?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing acoustic tonight, but yeah, that was called Steven's Song, and we definitely do some indie rock. We're influenced by some like 90s music. We like the 60s music as well.
But, yeah. I mean, it's like a little like Dave Matthews, REM. Yeah, it's just sure. kind of a nice eclectic mix.
Thank you.
Very good.
I've got to figure out that Facebook Live video thing and running back into the studio.
Oh yeah, because
that's our first time using the performance.
What
space.
Do you guys think of the performance studio in there? It's brand spanking new.
It's awesome. It's amazing.
You like it for real?
Lots of good quality microphones.
Okay, good.
They sounded amazing.
Yeah, you guys sound awesome.
We're gonna do another song in a little bit. We've got to take a break here. More about the 6th annual Edgewater Arts Festival this weekend, September 29th through the 30th from 11 to 7 in Edgewater, right here in Chicago. And this is going to be between, it's 10:30 to 11:40 West Granville. That's between Broadway and Sheridan, just off the L Red Line at the Granville stop. There's only suggested admission. You guys are like basically saying if you want to come in for free, you can, but we'd like $5 if you don't mind.
That's correct.
Yes. All right, then cool. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. Barracuda, right? Do I have the right song?
Heart, yeah.
Oh. You know, have I ever told you this story? Michael, I once worked with a producer, and I won't say which one, but I said I had just downloaded the Best of Heart, and they said, you and I have a different opinion of what Best of means.
Wow.
Oh, that you can't slam
pretty
Heart.
Pretty seminal band.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Heart?
Yeah.
They're the best.
It stopped me in my tracks. It was when Ted Novak was still here. So Ted and I, we felt that because we were both only children, that when people say, like, we don't know how to take that sort of a comment. Like, I could have rolled with it and been like, oh, you're nuts.
Right.
You're stupid.
Yeah.
But it stopped the whole show. And I was like, I didn't get it. How is Best of Heart not a statement of fact?
You immediately go. Yeah, you immediately go to what they're the best at. One of the greatest whammy bar bands of all time.
Right.
And you can't dispute that, even if they would go against your band choice.
Yeah.
You know, music is so subjective. I would say just brush it off your shoulders.
Well,
like Jay-Z
exactly.
says.
But I would never, like, you know, when people make jokes about who do they like Coldplay? Is that someone people make
oh,
fun
yeah.
of?
Yeah.
Like, Coldplay, Nickelback.
Yeah. I never get the joke, Chris.
Oh,
I don't know why people make fun of that.
I have no idea why
do people make fun of Nickelback?
I'm telling you.
I'm not a fan.
I don't know what it means when people make fun of that.
What does it mean? You're the music aficionado.
Right. He's laughing at me like I'm adorable.
It's very easy to call it Tool Rock, but to be honest, they're one of Canada's best bands. They make tons of singles. In fact, almost all their songs are hits.
Right.
I mean, they're no Owen and the Ghost. I mean, I'm loving these guys.
They're amazing.
But
making their debut tonight.
It's hard. Yes. Hard to judge a band.
It is. Well, that's and again, that brings us to the Arts Festival, the 6th annual Edgewater Arts Festival with music. There'll be work from artists. Actually, this is a juried process when you select the painters and the sculptors and all kinds of
absolutely
folks.
Yeah, it's a big selection process that goes in and everyone submits their work, and we had a pretty competitive amount of people this year that applied and probably turned away about 30 to 40 people.
Oh, wow.
30 to 40 artists. You know, we just didn't have the room.
You have a waiting list then now.
We do have a waiting list for 2019. So it goes on. And also this year, not only the artists, which is a main part of the exhibit, we've got an after party this year with Great Moments in Vinyl. And they're going to perform.
I saw that.
They are very well known in the Chicago area. And they're going to perform at Gallery 1070. They're going to perform Fleetwood Mac's entire Rumors album.
Oh.
So that's a little bit of an after party.
Outstanding.
$20 for that, and some tickets are still available. Only 100 people will be allowed into that party.
Ooh,
so.
Can we go?
Well, of course.
Can we be 99 and 100?
You can be 99.
98, 99, 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at the Gallery 1070s where they're having the after
right.
party.
And that's right on Granville.
Excellent. And then, and that's being used as well for a hospitality room. So if folks need to take a break and, you know, cool off a little bit, they can go into the hospitality room.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful. And there's going to be all kinds of sights, sounds, smells, and flavors. Tell us a little bit about the beer and wine garden from the Arrogant Frog.
Yeah, Arrogant Frog, first time sponsor this year. Arrogant Frog is, if you take a look on a website, you take a look at their label, it's really super unique. It's actually from France. Really sophisticated, kind of mid-tier level. I'm not a wine aficionado, but it tastes just amazing.
Looking forward to that.
And, me too.
It's not your typical festival wine that isn't that good.
Right.
It's a really good quality wine, and it's coming this year from France.
And you also have some food from Fireside, which is obviously a Chicago staple.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do they still do their Bloody Mary bar?
I don't know.
That's like the greatest Bloody Mary bar ever.
They still do it in the history of
Bloody Mary bars.
Yep, they do, and they will be the official restaurant locally there that evening.
Nice.
Outstanding. And by the way, the festival is organized by the Edgewater Artists in Motion, and their mission is to enhance Edgewater's appeal as a vibrant, family-friendly neighborhood, which they have accomplished in so many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been around just for a few years, for 6 years. And Gallery 1070, where some of these events are occurring, just had their grand opening in June of this year. So a number of the artists rotate their exhibits throughout the year, be it paintings, be it sculptures, all those things are being showcased at a local level. And that's one of the great things about Edgewater, for those that are listening and haven't been to Edgewater. It's really a family-friendly community.
It is.
And there's people just really look after each other and look for unique things. The theater scene in Edgewater is huge, and then being right there by Loyola University too.
It's a wonderful community, and don't forget this event has an admission cost, but it's only suggested.
Right.
And the thing about suggestion, like, you think that the folks would be like, oh, I'll just wave it off. I think people feel compelled, and they feel like they're doing something nice.
Yeah,
when they
giving,
do it that way.
Giving back and really right. helping support, you know, putting an event like this on this size with three stages and having all the exhibitors there, there's some costs that go in. So anything
sure.
that oh people God. Are willing to donate to defray the costs.
But $5.
Look at what you get, too. Free concerts. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to give more, you get two glasses of wine from Arrogant Frog. I mean, it's nothing.
All kinds of stuff going on. There's going to be art, live music, craft beers, and food from Granville Avenue restaurants. Again, this is this Friday and is it Friday and Saturday? The 29th?
No, Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Right.
Saturday and Sunday, awesome. 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Excellent.
Right on Granville.
Yeah.
It's the 6th annual Edgewater Arts Festival, and you want to come out, you can see, hear, smell, and taste. Let's do some of the hearing right now. We are so thrilled to have in the studio with us, well, in the new studio. What do we call, what do they call the, is it the Allstate Performance Studio?
I think it's our performance stage, yeah.
Performance
part
stage?
Of the Allstate
Skyline
Studio.
Skyline Performance Stage. Yeah. Ladies
there
and gentlemen,
you
you're listening live.
Yeah. Listen, like right now, we all sound like we're going to, I have to do this because
cave.
We're switching over to that studio. Here is Owen and the Ghosts with Goodbye. What's the difference?
we first said hello. But then I didn't know how you hurt me so. I gotta let you go. And maybe it was all your fault. You really dropped the ball. You really made me fall. Made me feel small. Difference. Why'd we even try? You were so distant. So I'm saying goodbye.
Owen and the Ghosts performing at the 6th Annual Edgewater Arts Festival, A Joyful Assault on the Senses, this weekend. Very nice, you guys.
That was Goodbye, and their music is all... I'm learning back and forth between this. I got to figure this one out, Michael. We need, like, a microphone for me in there, too. or for me and Andre, so we can do, like, Facebook Live. And
right.
So we can enjoy it, like, in the studio with them.
Very cool. Yeah.
And you can hear all... You can find their music at owenandtheghosts.com. Actually, why don't we do... Since we have a short segment here, why don't we bring the guys in the studio?
Like, yeah, it's a good idea.
Put the guitars and the acoustics down.
Very cool.
You know what? Let's take a break here and talk to the bandmates from Owen and the Ghosts in a moment on 720 WGN.
There we go. We're live.
This weekend, it is the 6th Annual Edgewater Arts Festival from 11 to 7, Saturday and Sunday. And you can find that right at 10:30 through 11:40 West Granville. That's right between Broadway and Sheridan. And you heard music from Owen and the Ghosts. Joining us in studio are Jamie Scott and Owen, the fabulous musicians who you just heard play live. And Owen, so I'm going to start with you since you're Owen and these are the Ghosts. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it, what made you choose Ghosts, I guess?
Well, it started... Before it was a band, it was just me, of course, and I was playing. And the idea was you would imagine that there's ghosts behind me playing as well.
Oh.
So it was like Owen and the Ghosts. It's kind of like a pun, you know?
Okay.
So it was kind of a joke, like, oh, I'm playing, and I have, like, these ghosts behind me. But then, of course, I added Jamie and Scott to the band, and I kind of just kept the name.
So. And they were cool with that?
They were cool with that,
right.
Yeah.
Scott,
and
you cool
so
with
far.
That?
With
yeah.
being the Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're actually making... We're getting t-shirts soon, and we have three ghosts, so I'm also a ghost as well.
All right. So you're all ghosts.
So long as he's a ghost, too. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of, what's the graphic look like for the ghost? Is it sort of a Casper? Or is it more of the Pac-Man
like
ghost?
A Ghostbuster.
Pac-Man, yeah.
More Pac-Man ghost?
Yeah.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
So where are you from, Owen?
I'm from Wilmette, Illinois, yeah. If, so North Shore, yeah.
Okay, so can I just say that North Shore kids say they're suburb more than like anybody? Like everyone that's like, they'll say like Western suburbs or they'll say South suburbs, and they never tell. Well met.
Yes.
Just claim it.
Yeah, I got to be proud. Yeah,
I'm from Glenview.
Thank you. There you go.
So, see, that's shout out to my Glenview homies.
How about yourself? Jamie?
I'm from North Carolina.
Where in North Carolina?
Hickory, North Carolina.
So do people always ask you, like, what's that close to? Do you have to, like, what part?
I just say Charlotte. Asheville.
So how far from Charlotte, though? Is it, like, 3 hours?
No, 45
Did you have
minutes.
So that's close?
Did you have family affected by the storms?
Oh, no. Because I live, like, close to Asheville, the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
I've
gotten that a lot,
of course.
Actually.
I have friends who live there, and they were safe as well, but they're like, thanks for asking, you know?
Yeah.
You know, people are thinking of
Well, because it's easy to forget.
Absolutely.
You know, they're still dealing with flooding
and power
the after
outages.
Effects. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What brought you to Chicago?
Owen. The ghost.
Yeah. I moved from L.A., and I unfortunately didn't want to go back to North Carolina, so I wanted to live in a city where musicians can
rock and
make
roll.
A living.
And
yeah.
Thrive.
Good choice.
Yeah, Chicago's a rad city.
You rarely ever hear of someone leaving L.A. for Chicago.
I've also gotten that a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I take that back. There are a lot of people who go to L.A. for whatever the reason, you know, whatever draws them out there, and it doesn't speak to them. Right. Which is weird because you assume that artists are going to love it out there, and some do, but it doesn't necessarily ring true to them either.
I mean, being from North Carolina, I kind of miss seasons. I know it's like hard to complain about perfect weather almost every day, but
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has like an emotional kind of grounding, I guess, the weather.
So, Jamie, what was your, Scott, what was your first instrument? Did you always?
It was guitar.
Guitar?
Yeah. Started playing when I was 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do people always go, I was later than, like a lot of people start like when they're in grade school, they are asked to choose an instrument in grade school.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I just didn't come around to it till I was 18.
Yeah.
You
sound great.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. And how about you, Owen?
I started when I was 13. Yeah, so my first instrument was piano, actually. So I would just, like, when I was like 11 or 10, my brother took lessons, and I was kind of inspired to just kind of play around on the piano myself. And I ended up getting lessons and did music, you know, ever since. So
you guys sound wonderful, and I encourage everyone to check out owenandtheghosts.com. Please come back again. We'd love to have you play in studio whenever you have the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And check them out live this weekend at the 6th Annual Edgewater Arts Festival. Is there a website, Chris, where people can find out more information?
Absolutely. edgewaterartists.com.
Excellent, you guys. Have a great night. We'll see you again.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, a drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
You've probably had beers, Senator.
Each week, Ralph Club biggest contributor.
You know, I got a weak stomach, whether it's with beer. I like
you
beer.
Have for that.
I like beer. I don't know if you do.
Okay.
You like beer, Senator, or not. What do you like to drink?
Next one.
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace.
Thirsty all of a sudden.
Oh my God,
Andrea.
That's a great montage.
Good
and
job,
can we just
Michael.
Say, yes. Okay, it was edited together, yes, but those are all his words.
Yeah.
That's how many times he said it in succession.
That wasn't none of those were repetitive. Those were actually the number of times he said, I like beer, I drink beer, you like beer, we drink beer,
right.
Beer, 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 beer.
Not a single one was repeated.
That was so bizarre.
It was strange.
When he pursued, you know, persisted with that. I drink beer, don't you? You know, I thought, okay, just drop it. Just
that
answer
was
the question.
Unnecessary,
you know?
Yeah.
It was unnecessary. And the whole, was it, have you ever been inebriated? Have you?
Right. Why? Why? I mean,
you're,
in what
just
world?
Answer the question. I mean, you're in the legal world. You're this great legal mind. Just answer the question.
And one of the things I was surprised, because, well, of course, they did not have the ability, nor it seemed like the inclination to expand the investigation in order to be able to call Mark Judge, who was one of his classmates. And he sort of hedged around how close they were, right? Because in other, you know, and several of the senators did allude to media reporting or things that they had read in part of the statements.
Right.
But Mark Judge wrote a book. It's all right. In which he talks about someone named Bart O'Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And also their 100-keg quest.
Right.
when they were at Georgetown Prep. So, you know, there was their goal of drinking 100 kegs by the end of senior year. Here are some of their goals. Party with a stripper. There were tales of students falling through ceilings at house parties. So they, you know, he also said that it was a book of fiction, only if you search for it online.
Right.
It always says it's listed as a nonfiction book.
Oh,
which is interesting, which, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
So there were a lot of moments that I think were compelling on both sides.
I think so.
I think if you are in the camp of this guy's a good guy, he's being railroaded by the Democrats, you like him and you thought that he did a great job. And he was angry and worked up because he's fighting for his career and his name has been besmirched and his family's been put through the ringer. If you were in the camp of, you know, I'm with her and her testimony really was emotional for so many people. I don't know if anyone changed their minds mm-hmm. today.
No, I agree. I agree.
I find it hard. Maybe I'm wrong. 312-981-7200. Did you change your mind?
Right.
I think they both believe their stories.
I think they both do believe their stories, although the one person I did talk to who kind of changed her mind definitely leans to the right, but said she was believable. She believed her.
Really?
And she went in thinking that she was either paid or was embellishing her story, but after hearing her, there's not one part of me that looked at her and thought, oh, she's clearly lying. I mean, and they even had an analysis, an expert, you know, on body language, and they said, it was a man, he said, clearly she was scared, she was terrified, she was shaking, she's not polished, you
right.
know, she's not a politician, she doesn't, I know she's a professor, but she's not used to speaking in public and in front on national television.
Michael, what were some of her opening statements? Do we have that audio? So I agree, Andrea, because the way she presented herself, and I was nervous kind of for both. I was nervous for both of them because the stakes are so high for all of us.
Yeah. I agree.
That's the truth. You know, this is an important job. This is a lifetime appointment. As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court justices are the guardians of the Constitution.
Right.
And that's the foundation of our government. And
right.
these are men and women who make decisions that will affect us for generations.
Right. And look at all of the allegations of sexual assault that have come out in the past year. Okay, start with Harvey Weinstein. Go Bill Cosby. Now, I'm not comparing Judge Kavanaugh to them at all. I'm just talking about the allegations. When they were brought up, they were investigated. They were looked
right.
into. When the Cosby allegations came out, that started with one, and then two, and three, and then grew to 50.
Right.
You know,
no, that's a good point.
And you can't, you know, they're not all lying. They're not all getting together in this big conspiracy. You know, so now with Christine Blasey Ford, whatever you think about her allegation, now there's at least two other women coming forward with similar allegations who were at certain parties and are detailing very similar circumstances. So again, they're not in cahoots. They're not getting paid.
Right. And there were moments where I was talking to Renato Mariotti, who is a former prosecutor and is the legal analyst for CNN. And those moments where Kavanaugh kept saying that Mark Judge submitted refuted her statements.
Yeah.
And it was, signed under, threat of perjury or whatever it was. Renato Mariotti said those statements were actually crafted by his attorney, by Mark Judge's attorney.
Okay.
And so the language is something that any attorney would tell their client to do
mm-hmm.
in a way that, and it's all one-sided. So there's
right.
no way to sort of cross-examine somebody who submits those statements. So that's not part of a legitimate investigation, only he kept presenting it as
yes.
such. And there were some things I was surprised by that. I was glad that at some point, finally, I think it was Blumenthal, I can't remember which senator, explained what the reasoning was behind wanting an FBI investigation, because of course they did keep rolling out Joe Biden from the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill hearings
yeah.
when he said, you know, he was waving around that manila folder saying, if another person asked me about the FBI investigation, you know, they don't know anything. And, you know, what he was so aggressive when he did that, and they've used it against Democrats in this process. He was saying they don't make decisions, and that's what's been repeated. Well, that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI doesn't arrive at decisions. They investigate. They
right.
they track down witnesses. They look for evidence. They do background checks, all of those things. And for people who don't think there's no role for the FBI in this process, that is not true. This is part of the, I mean, again, We're talking about a lifetime appointment. This is right. what they do.
Making laws for the land, for the entire country.
Yes.
And being a person of the law, I am just curious why, again, why you wouldn't welcome a thorough investigation.
Right.
If you follow the law or say, and as he said repeatedly, I'm going to follow the law of the land. As someone who's going to be crafting those laws, wouldn't you want the full investigation to take place and then you can you're a judge.
Right.
You know, let the chips fall where they may. Again, if you have nothing to hide, welcome it.
He never said yes.
Yeah. Right, if I make an accusation against you and I say, Patty, you did thus and so, and you absolutely did not, and I said, well, the FBI is going to investigate, wouldn't you say, okay, bring it on?
Yeah, bring it on.
Let me clear my name.
It depends on what they're investigating.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
No,
right.
I have no
not
idea.
That.
Well, and let's talk about this when we come back, because I've been doing a little bit of soul searching when it comes to my relationships, to my, you know, from being a high school student and being in college and being a woman and whether or not I was there for other women, because that's another element that people have been talking about is how, you know, women can turn against each other or not be empathetic or just in general be empathetic. But when we come back, we'll listen to some of the moments from the hearings today. And if you miss it, let us know, you know, what are you getting? Because some people didn't watch every single minute.
Yeah.
And they're just getting drips and drabs. Maybe they're just hearing us talk about it for the first time. And that's why I'm doing my best to sort of make sure that we address both sides of this.
Right.
But ultimately, what I also, we're commentators in this part of it. Andrea does the news, the top and the bottom of the hours. That's our news. And then the rest of it is talk. And it's
right.
our point of view, our mm-hmm. perspective, and it's informed by our experiences.
Right. And our experiences and what we saw.
Yes.
You know, you can't deny actions or pounding on tables or yelling, you know, and it, if it's in the heat of emotion,
yep.
okay, that's fine. But nonetheless, it's yelling. And people being in FABIT.
But some people are really drawn to that, and
yeah.
they, and including the President of the United States. He said that this is the guy I chose, and he proved why. The 847 says, FBI gathers facts and passes them on.
That's
exactly.
Right.
So
that's
gather
right.
the facts. Let's learn more. We'll be right back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
You've probably had beer, Senator.
Each week, Ralph Club, biggest contributor.
You know, I got a weak stomach, whether it's with beer. I like
you
beer.
After that.
I like beer. I don't know if you,
okay.
you like beer, Senator, or not. What do you like to drink?
Next one.
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace.
That is Michael. Bravo. Brava.
I got to give a shout out to Deadspin for cutting that together, and a shout out to Rez for providing the background mix.
The music,
man,
sounds great with that,
it
too.
It fits so well.
Yeah. That's
what do you
fantastic.
Drink? Every time he said, what do you drink?
That
was so...
It's oh,
mouth.
Come on. That's so rude. Can you imagine? What if she had done that?
What if she had come in
what if she'd
yelling
done
at that? What if she'd come in yelling...
And screaming.
And accusing the GOP of something and crying.
Right.
Oh, she'd been crying.
Oh, God forbid.
As it was, people were criticizing her for her voice, you know, how they didn't think that she looked mousy. As you're going to get in situations like this,
mm-hmm.
a lot of criticism of both of them. But I think that, and again, there were people who were convinced by his testimony, felt that, and the gaps that people are pointing to with Dr. Blasey Ford's testimony are in regards to flying.
Oh, yeah. How she won't fly.
Well, she has a fear of flying,
fear
right?
of flying, yeah.
So, and, you know, I feel like every time we have these moments, I don't want it to always be like, well, let me tell you about my life. But I had a severe, my husband, and I asked my husband because Griffin was in the kitchen with me, and I said, ask your daddy how much on a scale of 1 to 10, mommy used to hate flying, and it was 9.5.
Yeah.
I would avoid flying every chance I had, but if I had to, I would. And it came down to, if I ever told you this story, we were flying into London, and I wanted to go to England, and I knew it was going to be a long flight. And by the time we were almost there, the flight attendants just started slipping me bottles of wine because I was like having...
I just couldn't take a Benadryl.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and we were, there was a storm. And I didn't want to say anything because I was having a massive panic attack because there was the lightning was just flashing over and over again. And I couldn't breathe. And I didn't want to tell Steve because I didn't want him to freak out that I was freaking out. And then I go, oh my God, there's just, I go, I couldn't take it anymore. I go, Steve, there's so much lightning out there. And he goes, that's the light on the wing.
Yeah.
And I relaxed, like my whole body relaxed. Yeah. You know, and I was like, oh, okay. Boom. And we got hit by lightning.
Oh my God.
And the whole plane shook, the lights flashed, and me and another woman were like looking at each other because apparently she had breathed a sigh of relief because she thought the light on the wing was lightning too.
Right.
And the pilot came on a moment later and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little closer than we like to get to lightning. We've checked all the equipment and everything is okay.
Okay, good.
But I was already afraid to fly. So it took me a long, that was in, oh my God, just my skin hurts just thinking about it. But if you have issues with flying, you find ways to control it in order to live your life, right? So you have to be able to, and I've gotten to the point where it was a choice between getting over it and making myself just do it over and over and over again, where it becomes routine and second nature. But it took me 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I can't speak to what her issues were, but that was in regards to whether or not she would come from California to testify in front of the panel. Do you remember like this part of the hearing where they said, well, we offered to come to California, and she said that was not part of her understanding.
Right.
But that's been like the biggest gap anybody has found has been her conversation about flying.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Okay. But how is that everything to do with what happened to her? I guess they're saying like to character or whether or not she would lie about that.
Oh,
or
about her fear of flying? You
yeah.
Mean?
Oh, people are saying that if she's afraid to fly, she goes on vacation. She flies for work. She came out to D.C. for this.
Right. You could fly and still have a fear of flying.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you're saying if I can avoid it. And in this situation, she was afraid for her life. She'd
right.
gotten death threats.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking if you're, you know, if there's a threat and you're in a contained space,
mm-hmm.
she talked about being claustrophobic. She talked about, did you see the reason why she went to therapy with her husband?
Because of being claustrophobic or in the not being able to exit.
They were remodeling their house
yeah.
and she wanted two front doors and he couldn't understand why.
Yeah.
And she didn't really know why until they went to therapy. So she wanted another exit. And it came out during therapy that she was claustrophobic because of the sexual assault from when she was in high school.
And her friends, you know, and this is another thing that really kind of burns me too, is why not say anything? Why wait 35 years? We've kind of discussed that. I have a quote that I saw on Instagram today too, which kind of speaks to that. But her friend said, even way back then, she would say she's, you know, afraid of not being able to exit a room or not being, you know, or being in an enclosed space. So she had said this for many, many years. This isn't something that just developed her fear. I saw this on Instagram today, and I thought this was really powerful. It said, I never heard one person ridicule any men, for coming forward with allegations about Catholic priest molestation after 35 years. Not one.
Right.
Which that's a really, really good point. So anybody who says, why did you wait? People have very, very different reasons
yes.
and very poignant and powerful reasons for waiting, whether you wait a week,
yeah.
a month, a day, a year, 30 years, 20 years. And look at what happened with the pre-sex abuse scandal. Most of these have come out somewhat recently, but they all waited,
mm-hmm.
whether it was 10 years, 25 years, 30 years, and without question. Nobody questioned their motives.
It is no one's, it's no one's business why or when or where a sexual assault survivor comes forward.
Right. Man or woman.
There were listeners calling into John Williams' show, and there was one woman who, the first time she said it out loud to somebody was on the John Williams show today, and I believe she was in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
There were survivors calling John Williams' show. There were people calling Bill and Wendy's show on the other side, women asking, well, what was she doing at that party? Why would why did she go upstairs with the boys?
We should talk about
that,
too. We should talk about that, too.
Yeah,
I heard a story today that said the sex abuse hotline, you know, if someone calls in and is scared or nervous or wants some counseling, you can be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, has skyrocketed this week with women reporting. We got a texter just now from the 224. I have two sisters. Both were sexually assaulted. Neither reported it. My belief is for Dr. Ford, the judge became too defensive for me to believe.
And I think that's, you know, we have no sway over which way the Judiciary Committee goes. There are four Republicans who are going to make that decision. It's going to come down to Collins, Murkowski, Flake, and Manchin,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that right? Manchin? something like that. Not Munchin. That seems like one of the, somebody else in the cabinet. But there are four. There are four senators who it seems as though Flake, in his last statement, was basically saying, "We'll never know for sure. Mm-hmm. We should be very humble about the onus on
us." Oh, Manchin.
Manchin. Okay, I knew it was something. Yeah. The four of them are the ones that ultimately seem to be in the category.
The sway category. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, so it'll come down to them because the Democrats, I don't think, are going to move, and the Republicans, I mean, Grassley and Orrin. Oh my, did you see Orrin Hatch when he said that he was asked on the way out of the courtroom during the break? They asked him what he thought of Dr. Blasey Ford, and he goes, "She's an attractive witness."
Oh my God!
They were like, "What do you mean
Come
by
on.
That?"
Come on!
They go, "What do you mean by that?" And he goes, "Well, she's pleasing," and I was like, "It's not a speed dating event; it's a hearing."
Oh my
She
God.
Was brave, she was authentic, and she was credible. More
Extremely
after this.
Extremely real.
Yep. More after this on 720 WGN. For almost 9 hours, Dr. Blasey Ford and Judge Brett Kavanaugh sat before the Judiciary Committee as they presented each side. It really was a he said, she said. I thought you did a great job with that, Andrea.
Oh, absolutely.
News and using that audio, too, because this is what it comes down to. In the absence of an investigation to corroborate their information. But there's a lot of people. This was hard for, whether you're a survivor or you're annoyed by the whole process. You just think it's all for show. You think it's a circus or but for many people, and I stopped in the newsroom and Vic Vaughn just told me that he was up, did his shift and then stayed up to watch the hearings. You watched it all day.
I did.
It takes its toll, too. Not just because I think that a lot of us find this to be interesting news.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
It is.
It determines the direction of our country for decades to come. And it also involves, something that's very personal for people who have been victims of sexual assault. I mean, and we're still getting texts from the 815. My sister was physically abused about 35 years ago. She never told my dad or me because she was afraid of what we would do and the trouble we would get into. And when I shared my story on Twitter, if you follow me, it's Patty Vasquez, CHI. And I had a lot of tweets today. It was just, I was just kind of getting into the fray. Oh, by the way, John Cusack retweeted a cartoon that I posted. So that was hopefully we can get him on the show. But I think that the nice thing about social media and for, us having the phone lines and the text screen open, you have somewhere to put your emotions and your thoughts about it.
Right.
And speaking of emotions, I thought that it started out, the hearing was, first of all, Grassley interrupted Senator Feinstein within moments. He gave his statements and then he cut her off almost immediately.
I know.
And then we finally did hear for the first time from Dr. Blasey Ford.
I am here today not because I want to be. I am terrified. I am here because I believe it is my civic duty to tell you what happened to me while Brett Kavanaugh and I were in high school. I was pushed onto the bed and Brett got on top of me. He began running his hands over my body and grinding into me. I yelled, hoping that someone downstairs might hear me, and I tried to get away from him, but his weight was heavy. Brett groped me and tried to take off my clothes. He had a hard time because he was very inebriated and because I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit underneath my clothing. I believed he was going to rape me. I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me.
What about that sounds like a lie? You have a woman who's trembling and terrified at that point, and what would she have to gain by lying?
To be that vulnerable in front of everybody. And she was asked several times, how sure are you? And she said 100% each time. And, Judge Kavanaugh, when asked at the very end by Senator Kennedy, look me in the eye. He said, do you believe in God?
Right.
Look me in the eye. Did you do this? And he said, I'm 100% sure I did not do this. This is hard. This is hard for, this is hard for and on everyone,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm. But, we're getting great, we're getting really a lot of great texts tonight from the 815. Dr. Ford was clearly telling the truth. I've never doubted what was going to happen in these hearings today. Kavanaugh clearly has something to hide. That's why he was so combative. Why could anyone want this guy to be on the Supreme Court with this hanging over his head, never being fully investigated? And it goes on and on, you know, to give more opinions. But, and you know, and you brought this up too earlier, Patty, and I think this is a really good point. A lot of women or a lot of people are saying, well, I wouldn't have put myself in that position. How many times have you been to someone's house in your entire life?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you used the bathroom at that person's house, right, or at where you are? You know, she didn't, if this happened, and I think it did, you don't ask, you know, she gave testimony. She was going up to the bathroom, and she even said, you know, this wasn't a big party like it's been made out in the media. It was
right.
friends
gathering.
It was gathering.
A pre-party.
Yeah,
right.
It was a pre-party. They'd been swimming. They were all at the country club.
Mm-hmm.
She went upstairs to change out of her bathing suit, and when she came out, they had blocked the door mm-hmm. and pushed her in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So you're not putting yourself in a position. You're going to a friend's house to change your clothes after you all went swimming.
Right.
So I don't understand how...
Well, and the idea of why would you put yourself in that situation, and maybe there are people who have led a very saccharine life where they've never found themselves in a situation, whether it's sexual or, you know, I remember in high school, and my mom's going to be so mad at me when she hears this. I used to work at a place called the Laser Zone, which was a laser tag place. Mm-hmm. I was the assistant manager, and the guy who was the manager, his name was Jeff, and his best friend was Roy, and they had like a little, I don't know if it was like a little sports car, and I felt so cool like hanging out with these guys. They were like 18 and 19 years old, and I was in the back seat hanging out, and later I realized how drunk they were mm-hmm. when I was riding in the back seat of their car, and how I just felt cool hanging out with them, and just it was so stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, we could have gotten in an accident so easily. I didn't even have a seatbelt on,
right,
and I just hung out with them because I thought it was fun, and then I stopped mom I it's okay, I'm here, so, but I know it's stupid. Now I think with my sons, you know, I hope that Griffin makes better. We all hope that our kids make better choices than
I agree, and that's good. I told my mom a very similar story today too. I said, you know, we were all in college. We had a study group. It was University of Illinois. It was boys and girls in our study group. It was for a journalism class. It was for a media law class. And we all went to this one guy's apartment to study.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, you know, you're studying all night. We weren't drinking. We were all studying. One by one, everybody left. And I was the last person there with this guy. And I think back to, and nothing happened. Everything was great. We all gave each other a hug. But, you know, you want to talk about being in situations like that. Something terrible could have happened.
Right.
I was the last, but we were all filtering out. I was the last to leave. I probably used the restroom and said, I'm going to leave. And I think back and I'm like, oh my God, thank God nothing did happen.
Right.
But is that putting myself in a position? It was a study
group. Right. Cause you're alone with a guy.
Right. Just because I was, you know, happened to be the last to leave to gather my things
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you're putting yourself in a bad position. It's life. You don't expect
you make choices. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen next. And Glenn wanted to share his thoughts. What do you think, Glenn?
You know, I was just thinking about, you know, the bringing up the sexual abuse thing, which is bad enough, but I think it encompasses a lot more than that. You have the bullying that's going on, the problems with hazing and hype in colleges. I think it gets to a point where if people feel like they can overpower someone else, they just forget, they lose empathy for their fellow human being.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
They just aren't unable to connect with them. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, things are never going to change, but I think people need to learn that when it happens, call them out right away. Call it out right away. Stop it right in its tracks.
I think going forward, yeah.
I hope that's a good point, Glenn. Learn. Yeah.
Maybe people now hearing this, and if something happens to them, they won't be afraid to... Or they won't be afraid to say something.
I hope so. I don't know how it's going to, you know, look, it's taken us 27 years between Anita Hill and the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
So hopefully it won't take as long for women or anybody who is the victim of assault to be able to come forward. Thank you so much for calling, Glenn. Always wonderful to hear from you. Myrna, I'm going to take your call in just a moment, but I want to address this because I locked into this for a moment too. And if I always wanted to be a lawyer. Andrea.
Yeah.
And if I had heard this testimony, I'm with the 312. This was the one thing that Dr. Ford said that kind of made me go, huh. And I would have followed up on this. She testified that 6 weeks after the incident, she went with her mother. I'm not sure if it was 6 weeks, but she, after the attack, she went with her mother to a grocery store where Mark Judge was working.
Okay.
So it wasn't Kevin. It was Mark Judge, by the way. She said she went, she saw him. She didn't go up to him, by the way, 312. This is why I locked into it, because I would have followed up. She saw him and tried to say hi. And she said he looked sick. He looked pale. He looked away and didn't want to engage with her. Right.
Right. Right.
I wondered why she said hi. I would have just asked her, well, why, what made you want to say hi?
Yeah.
But as somebody who has survived sexual assault, and I think a lot of people will say this, you try to normalize and you try to, you know, you kind of convince yourself that everything's okay and it's normal. And so that's the only thing I could say from both sides. One, I agree with you. I was wondering about that. But also being on this side of it, you try to make everything seem like it's, you know, like she would have, she was trying to be normal and she would have said hi to him if that attack hadn't happened. So she could try to sort of like put that reality together, and
right,
because she hadn't told anybody,
right, and maybe return to some sense of normalcy.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, her mom might have asked, why didn't you say hi to Mark?
Right.
So I don't know.
Good
so
points.
But anyway,
very
that,
good points.
So that was with right. I locked into that. If I was on the other side of it, if I didn't, you know, if I was prosecuting or not prosecuting, but if I was Rachel Mitchell,
right,
I would have said, huh, why did you want to say hi to him?
Yeah.
That's just something that I thought of as well. Hey, Myrna, how are you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you, ladies, for taking my call.
Of course.
One comment. The prosecutor who was hired by the Republicans, she only has tried one case, even though they had advertised that she'd done multiple cases. Yeah, only one. And it was a Catholic priest that she got off the hook. He was accused of sexually abusing somebody. And the day that the doctor attended her grandmother's funeral one day, that afternoon, she went to take the lie detector test that same exact day,
right
after the grandmother's funeral. The prosecutor was not aware of that.
Right,
when
I saw.
Brought
I,
up
yes.
Questioning,
yes.
She sort of paused, like, what do you mean?
Yes.
And
yeah.
And it came to me right away, a woman scorned right there. And when she started questioning Kavanaugh, it was a totally different situation. She sort of reminded him or hinted that the local authorities and police department could decide to open up an investigation with the allegations and whatever evidence the doctor had provided to her about that case, like saying, okay, you know, you guys screwed me over because you didn't tell me about this situation that, you know, she had passed the test, even though she was under all that stress with her grandmother passing away. So now I'm going to get you guys back for what you did to me. You made me look like a fool in front of her. And she made a couple of comments to him, sort of like saying, you know what, you're not, you know, getting away with this as easily as you think. You can still be tried by, you know, local authorities.
That's true.
They can investigate you.
For anybody who is not aware, Maryland has no statute of limitations for attempted rape.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And good for them. There should not be a statute of limitations. Look what happened. Look what happened with the pre-sex abuse scandal. Mm-hmm. Look what happened with Dennis Hastert.
Mm-hmm. You know? And everybody came out to circle the wagons around Dennis Hastert as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And people for decades helped cover that up.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, look.
That was the source of an FBI investigation. That's how they got him.
Exactly. Right. And that was partly because of the blackmail.
Right. Because the blackmail.
The money.
Blackmail gone bad.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Kavanaugh kept saying he kept referring to his friend and that he had testified and stuff. There was no testifying.
Yeah.
It was a one-page letter that was signed. And
crafted
that's
by,
it was.
Yeah, crafted by his attorney.
That's right.
By the way.
Exactly. And that's why he wouldn't answer about, you know, well, why don't you open up an investigation with the FBI? He kept, you know, kind of trying to get around that by saying, well, he already testified, but he didn't.
Right.
So,
Myrna, it's good to hear from you. It was a long day,
and
we look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Take care, ladies.
Thank you.
See you, Myrna.
Me too. By the way, bye-bye. The other thing was I thought it was interesting when Rachel Mitchell, the prosecutor, said that this is not the best circumstances. This is not the best way to get testimony. That was, I wonder how they feel now. I think that Kavanaugh did what the Republicans needed him to do, what yeah. President Trump wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. The morning, I think that they were on their heels a little bit because they couldn't participate.
Right.
And that's why I think Grassley was interrupting once in a while, trying to interject. Mm-hmm. But that 5-minute limit really ruined her momentum because yeah. it seemed as though, you know, and really, you know what was weird was it did kind of play out like a television drama, though. I mean, it was the intensity of it where she would, you know, Rachel would go down this line of questioning and then she'd have to stop, though. But it seemed as though if in a regular courtroom situation, it seemed like she would have been like, but you said this. And in her summation, like right. she was gathering,
right.
whether it was trying to trick her or lead her down a path of misspeaking
right.
or disprove something.
Right.
And that never came to fruition,
it
really.
It didn't. And people were pointing out that she is a sex crimes prosecutor. So this is the best person to for this job. Absolutely. I just didn't appreciate, and I think you're right, this is probably why they switched, is I didn't appreciate, you know, Christine Ford was answering the questions. Mm-hmm. She was nervous. She was scared. You know, she didn't have recollection of certain things. Kavanaugh kind of came out firing for, you know, and everyone will say, well, he has his reasons. He's, you know, he says he was fighting for his life and his career and his reputation. But I didn't appreciate him attacking her because I would try and picture him being in his courtroom. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would want a witness attacking an attorney in his courtroom. So right. why turn the tables and attack one of your own?
Yeah.
You're both followers of the law.
Exactly. There. By the way, somebody's texting from the 708. Didn't they say she told her husband and therapist years ago? And that was another thing that in 2012, because of the remodeling of their house.
Yes.
And he didn't understand why she wanted two front doors and she wanted to be able to get out.
Right.
She wanted to have another exit. And so they worked it through therapy and she realized part of the reason was because she, you know, was somewhat claustrophobic. Yes. So the question to her was whether or not the therapist had Brett Kavanaugh's name. It was not in the records. There, you know, her portal, doctor portal, or the ability to check her records doesn't have Brett Kavanaugh's. But I have to say, you know, and again, I think a lot of people, as survivors in particular, who watch this testimony, who have talked to their friends or talked to their therapists, you know, I don't think my therapists have the names of the people that I've shared with them. They mm-hmm. write down the situations, the assault, the
right.
you know, what I'm dealing with. Why would they write down the names of the people? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They're not collecting evidence.
Right.
They're collecting their patient's story.
Exactly.
And their trauma.
And to that point, too, I found it so puzzling and so bizarre that they were asking him about records that he had written down. You know, okay, please. First of all, you know, I tried to keep a diary at one point, and you're going to really, I mean, we're all adults. You're going to say, oh, because I didn't
so
write
crazy.
It down
oh, I know.
35 years yeah. ago, oh, it must not have happened.
Yes.
And if you did do something like that, are you really going to write it down?
Yes.
That was so bizarre to me that they just yes. persisted with that line of questioning.
Yes.
Because I don't think anybody in their right mind, no matter what side you stand on, is going to find any credibility to that.
Well, unless you're truly a predator or a sociopath, would you write right. down, I sexually assaulted
yeah.
somebody? Or I went to, I don't know. Yeah, that was,
it was
that,
bizarre,
that,
wasn't
that
it?
Was very strange.
Yeah.
You know what? Tell me something happy. Tell me something good. What's making you smile tonight? Because this was a heavy day for some people. Maybe this was something you didn't get a chance to, you know, catch on TV or on the radio. I hope that our sort of conversation shed some light on, at least obviously it's our perspective. And of course, we thank the texters and the callers for joining in. But I want to know what's making you happy. We don't have too much time left, but I do have a pair of tickets.
Yes.
If there's something that's still making you smile tonight, the second caller. Let's go with the second. Second caller? Is that kind of weird?
No,
just the
too,
first,
yeah.
The second caller?
Yeah, second caller.
Second caller, I've got a pair of tickets for you to come hang out with me and Andrea on October 11th for the world premiere of Witch at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. You can also enter for your chance to win at WGNradio.com/contests. And that's going to be a very fun night. It's also the run is, I'm just excited to see
it. It's going
to
be awesome.
It's going to be great. More after this. 312-981-7200.